I want to continue a series we began last week on the topic of Sabbath. Sabbath, which simply means stop, pause, rest, something that we see in our Bibles and in our contemporary Christian experience. We don't quite know what to do about Sabbath. If you Google Sabbath, in terms of relating to the church, there's not a lot out there because for some reason we think that Sabbath is something that's disconnected from who we are, and I beg to differ. I think that we need to recover Sabbath in our lives in order to recover our lives. Today's theme or topic for a few moments is on rhythm. Now, when you hear rhythm, I don't want you to get nervous. I'm not going to test your rhythm skills. I will say this, that in terms of clapping, friends don't let friends clap on 1 and 3. If you don't know what that means, you need to think about that. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. This is a verse that I'm going to 28 through 30, I'm going to read every week from the Gospel of Matthew, from the Message. Again, it's a passage that's particularly special to me and spoke to me in a time of my life that I really needed to hear it. And so it would be my invitation for you to receive this word the way that I received it at a time when I was tired. And I needed to hear the words of Jesus here. So right now, right before I read it, I would invite you to think about your week, think about what went on last week, and perhaps how busy it was, and perhaps how cluttered it was, or think about your life right now. There's just like a ton of things going on. Your life looks like, you ever see an aerial view of, say a freeway that's sped up at night, and you just see all the lights of the cars going around in different directions, going and headed at each other. For many of us, like that's our life right now. And so if that is, I want you to kind of bring that into focus right now, and I want you to hear the words of Jesus. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Sisters and brothers, we are endeavoring to move us toward a place where we reintroduce Sabbath into our lives. By Sabbath, I mean pause, stop, take a break, rest. And we are taking our cue from Jesus himself, who knew a lot about Sabbath, both from the vantage point of an observant Jew and as one who knew how to take a break and get away. Church, we are a busy culture, and a culture that places a high value on being busy all the time. It has become some sort of a badge of honor. I remember years ago when I first started coming to Reynoldsburg as the youth minister, and we would have a Wednesday night class upstairs in a small classroom. And there was a point where there were, anywhere from sometimes 20, 30 kids packed like sardines into one of these classrooms. And we would sometimes just start the night off by just asking, hey, how was your day, or how was your week so far? It's Wednesday, it's midweek, it's hump day, right? And I couldn't believe the report of what these kids were doing. I had this practice, and then I went to work, and then I helped my parent do this, and then I did my homework, and then I did this, and I did, how did you do all of that in just 3 days? And when they came to church on Wednesday nights, they were completely fried. I mean, just tired. So one of the things that I started doing on Wednesday nights, or at least for a period, is we would gather in a room, and I would set up a projector and just play like some soft like worship music, and we would like read scripture, but I wouldn't do any like teaching or heavy thing, you know, because man, I just wanted them to just hear scripture, and several of them, they just clonked out and went to sleep, and I was cool with that. I was like, you know, hey, if you're gonna come here and rest, it's kind of okay. Because you need rest. Our bodies are not built to go and go and go and go like we tend to do in our lives. Now, we need to rest. And hear me when I say that it's good to place a value on work and hard work. But it is not good to value work so much that there is no time for rest. Our discussion about Sabbath is not an invitation to laziness or idleness or not working. That's not what we're talking about. Sabbath is about creating and maintaining space for good physical, mental, and spiritual health. It's my contention and the contention of many that if we get better rest, we'll actually work better, we'll think better, we'll process information better, we'll be better human beings, we'll be better to one another, we'll be better for the community. Jesus knew about the value of getting away. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, I read last week, it says that the news about Jesus spread all over the place, and so crowds of people came to hear him, to be healed of their sicknesses. He was a very, very popular man. But Jesus often, not just a couple times, he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And other translations says he went to solitary places. He often, on a regular basis, he got away to rest. I shared last week that as a society, we are an on-the-go people who rarely see the significance in just stopping to take a rest. Additionally, our day of worship, you know, Sundays, have become a couple of hours of worship, and then we get back to working and doing more labor. And what I want us to come to as a body is a place where Sabbath or our day of worship is a day of delight. Sabbath was meant to be a day of delight, not another day to you know, churn and get agitated. It was supposed to be something to be enjoyed. And so consider Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 11 through 14. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called a repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to the feasts, and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of your Lord has spoken. So again, hear the Lord, hear God talk about Sabbath being a delight that leads to joy. And there is a command here to not do just anything with the Sabbath, but to keep it special, to keep it holy. So let me repeat what I said last week. This sermon is not about reestablishing the seventh day or Saturday as the Sabbath day. It is about recovering our lives from the hustle and bustle of daily living that is driving us mad. In trying to implement an understanding of Sabbath, we need to transition from the dominant thinking of a 24/7 life toward a 24/6 life. Again, this is to resonate with the Lord, our Creator, who in 6 days created the world, but on the seventh day he rested. Sabbath then is a way to enter the rhythm and pace set forth by God. Listen to what God told Moses a long time ago in Leviticus chapter 19. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God.'" Church, this is the reason that for centuries, observant Jews keep the Sabbath. For them, that means at sundown on Friday night to sundown on Saturday, there is no work, there is no labor, there is rest, there is enjoying and delighting in that day. And in keeping this rhythm of rest, Jews walk in harmony with their Creator. And some might call walking in rhythm with God holiness. It is God's call for his followers to be holy. Previously in Leviticus, we get a similar statement. I am the Lord. This is Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves or separate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves along the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. Remember, human beings, we are God's prized possession. We are his special creation. He created a lot of things that he is very proud of and he enjoys, and he called it good. But when he created people, he said, "That's very, very, very good. You are my prized possession." Accordingly, God's people have to take care of themselves because we are God's special or prized possession. God's call to be holy includes establishing a rhythm of work and rest. And church, we're on an okay path. I mean, this is why we need to make our weekly worship a high priority in our lives. We need to plan on being here. We need to make arrangements so that nothing interferes with our weekly gatherings. You know, it saddens me that our society and communities continue to add events that encroach on our weekly gatherings. You know, I can speak from personal experience. I'm the parent of a daughter that plays, you know, club sport, and throughout the season, they're games on Sunday. I mean, like all day Sundays. I don't know why our societies do that. You go to other communities or other societies in other countries that may follow another religious order, and on their holy day, nothing happens. They don't schedule that stuff because there is a sensitivity that day has to be special. But again, because we're addicted to busyness and we have to get everything in, We'll add it to our Sunday schedules. It didn't used to be that way. I'm sure some of you are young enough to remember when none of this happened on Sundays. How many people remember a day when if you needed to go shopping on Sunday, you were just out of luck? Couldn't go shopping. Everything shut down. You know, it's gotten to a point now. Remember when every holiday, everything shut down? But we're changing from that. Thanksgiving Day, when we should be at home enjoying time with our family, 6 o'clock, stores open for Black Thursday or Black Friday deals, you know, where you go get your hands trampled for, you know, a transistor radio or something, I don't know, or flat screen TV. Where have we come as a society when the busyness has just taken over? these schedules, these games, or these events on Sundays, it'd be one thing if it brought delight to our lives, but they end up adding more stress, more frustration, more work to families. It may mean that one of the things that we have to start doing, and man, this is a lesson for Deion Frazier and his family. Man, sometimes we may have to start saying no to some things. We might have to say, no, can't do it. Can't let some things encroach on our day. In addition, it would be beneficial for us to cease from making Sunday worship a chore and delighting in the day. Now, it might mean changing our verbiage from, man, I have to go to church. How many people have been there? Oh, man, it's Sunday. I got to get up. I got to go to church. Doesn't that just sound laborious? Doesn't that sound like a chore? But perhaps it's changing the verbiage to things like, man, I get to go to church. I get to go and delight in God and delight in my brothers and sisters in this gathering. I get a chance to meet God afresh, perhaps in a way that I've never met him before. You know, make the day a more pleasurable one by preparing the day before. I don't know about you all, but when I was a young, wee little lad, mother used to come to me on Saturday night. There were two things that I had to do at least on Saturday night. I had to, one, do my Bible lesson, and number two, I had to get my clothes ready for the next day. There wasn't going to be this shuffle in the morning trying to find something to wear. Now, some of you, and I've heard you talk about this, have very large families. And in order for you to have a pleasurable Sunday, you had to do that. You had to have your clothes ready. You had to have your shoes shined. You had to have everything ready, chores done, all that. So you were able to leave Sunday morning to go to church together and enjoy that day. But again, because we're so busy, we can't even find time to pick out a shirt and a pair of pants for the next day. So perhaps we need to start preparing. Maybe Saturdays are the day that we cook extra and we come home instead of having this big, Sunday family meal, we have leftovers. You know, growing up, I grew up in a family, I don't know about y'all, where Sunday, my mother would cook this huge Sunday meal every Sunday. And there's one thing I noticed as I look back on those days when my mother cooked those big meals. She never ate. My mother never ate. You know why? She's tired from working and slaving in the kitchen. That's interesting, because years later, I cook some pretty big Sunday meals, don't I? And those of you who join me on a Sunday morning, my family knows that after I cook the food, what's the first thing I do? I go sit down and usually I go to sleep, and I usually don't eat. Because I'm tired from working in the kitchen. So maybe one of the things that we start doing is do something light. Maybe that's the day you do Subway. Subway, eat fresh. Do something. $5 footlongs. Don't do $5 footlongs anymore. But maybe that's the day we do something just light. Maybe you on Saturday night you just do some salad and do some cold chicken and you just have a salad with some chicken on it. You just simple. We make too much or do too much on a day that should be a day of delight. We become so busy, and we walk into worship rushed, and we're sitting in here right now thinking, oh man, how long is Deion going to blabber on? Because I have stuff to do. Y'all can laugh all y'all want. I know that's what some of you are thinking. And in addition to making Sundays a priority, we should probably consider reducing and eliminating labor. Now again, I don't want to be ignorant of the fact that some of us have to work on Sundays. I know that there are a few in here who can't worship with us or those who aren't here who can't worship with us because right now they're at work. Nonetheless, it may be helpful for us to try to relax more on Sundays and rest. Take a nap. Play games. I can tell you that in Jewish culture, the Sabbath was a good day for married couples. Wink, wink. It was a good day for married couples. And all you adults know what I'm talking about. One of the lessons we should learn from our ancient ancestors is that they were a rhythmic people. And one of the reasons we find it hard to read Hebrew scripture is because it was written to be heard, not read. Do you know that? Do you understand that? The ancient scriptures weren't written to be read. When the ancient scriptures were put together, there was an understanding that most people would not have a copy of it. They were written to be heard and listened to. That's why you hear words like in Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." Or listen to what the Lord Almighty says. Those words were written to be listened to be heard. There is alliteration and rhyming that we don't see in our English Bibles. When you look at Hebrew scripture, the way that it's written, the way that it's shaped, and the way that it's formed, it was written to be said a certain way with rhythm and with cadence. And so I would love for you to hear, say, the first chapter of Genesis in Hebrew the way it should be read aloud. It has intonations. You know, Bill Raper is probably one of our best readers in church. He adds so much emotion and so much animation to the reading. That's probably more in line with how Hebrew scriptures are to be read and how they are to be listened to. But it also suggests that the Jewish people were people who understood rhythm, and they understood that they practiced rhythm. They walked to the beat of Jehovah's drum. Thus, a Jewish calendar with all of its seasons and festivals were followed in an effort to walk harmoniously with Jehovah. And an integral part of the calendar was the Sabbath day and the Sabbath year, all a part of spiritual rhythm. That's why I think that there is great value that we consider the church calendar or the Christian calendar. It's one of the reasons why we look at Advent and Easter, and this year we looked at Pentecost, and there are other dates on the church calendar like Epiphany and other significant dates that helps us to get into rhythm with God and the church, as opposed to our monthly calendars or yearly calendars that has so many other worldly things affixed to it, and we march to that drum, and it causes us to sometimes neglect the church or the drum that Jehovah is beating. If you want any information about the Christian calendar, church calendar, please come talk to me, because I believe that it adds such a significant value. One of the things that I do for my whole year, there are daily readings that are read all over the world in the church, and I try to read those readings every day just as a way to keep in rhythm with God and the church. Church, if we want to recover our lives because we are overworked and tired and unhealthy and angry and we feel unaccomplished and incomplete and our spiritual lives are suffering, if we want recovery, we need to come away with Jesus so that he can teach us how to, and I quote, how to take a real rest and to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. One prominent author who wrote on Sabbath, his first name is Wayne, I think his Mullen is the last name. He wrote, if we do not allow for a rhythm of rest in our overly busy lives, illness becomes our Sabbath. Our pneumonia, our cancer, our heart attack, our accidents create Sabbath for us. How many times have we been on the go so much, moving without stopping, and then we get sick? It's as if God says, you won't take a break, I'll give you a break. And we get sick and we're in bed. And it's when we're in bed sick where we start to consider our lives and how busy it is. And we think, man, this is the first time I've had uninterrupted rest in so long. I think that sickness is sometimes is a way of telling our bodies to slow down. Slow down. Take a break. Sabbath is a choice. It's choosing to walk in rhythm with God, to be holy as he is holy. So last week, I challenged you to take 2 uninterrupted hours for yourself. Okay. How many people did it? Good. You may have done it without thinking about it. You know, I know last week I had to take a couple of naps during the week, so I took a few hours just as a way to recover for the next day. This week, I want you to double that. So I want you to find 4 hours of uninterrupted time. I'll even help you out with this. It doesn't have to be 4 consecutive hours. So if you want to do an hour a day, but I want you to find 4 uninterrupted hours. Now, I'll also say this. It doesn't have to be by yourself. You can do that with family or with your spouse, with significant other, but uninterrupted time. I would even challenge you with this, because this is an added challenge in our lives. Turn off your cell phone. Just turn it off. Turn off the devices. Get away from electronics. Because the electronics interrupt us all the time. You're having a good, and it buzzes or chirps. And someone said that on average, there are people who check their phone 3,000 times a day. 3,000 times. So I want you to find 4 hours this week. We're working up. I'm trying to work you up to a full day, so we're taking baby steps. 2 hours last week, 4 hours this week. Take some time to find delight. Delight in the Sabbath. Sabbath was created for our delight, our respite, our recovery. You know, one of the increasing problems in professional sports, particularly football, is the toll that it is taking on the mind and body. For this reason, players and sports unions are fighting for contracts that allow them more rest and recovery. Proper rest and proper recovery allows the body and the mind to heal, to maximize their peak performance. Now, I didn't know that Brian Rudolph would be in here today. Brian Rudolph, you're like a licensed like trainer, and I don't know if you ever seen any videos of him. Homeboy is buff. He's got not as buff as me, but he's doing pretty well for himself. And I guess you would agree that in working out, like you can't just work out all the time. You have to take rest. How important is rest? I mean, I know you're not mic'd up, but what? Yeah. So, yeah, it's you got to get, how important is sleep?
Probably more important than
not. He said sleeping is more important than not, like taking a break from not lifting weights. Again, the science is there. We're finding out that a lot of us are unhealthy, more unhealthy, because we don't sleep. We don't rest. So take it, look, this, I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm a preacher, but take it from the professional that you know, came in second place at our Arnold Invitational event. This is real talk here. This is someone that's got the street cred to tell you that rest is important when you're talking about your physical body, your mental state. In church, as a preacher, I'm saying it's important when it comes to our spiritual lives. Why is it hard for us to see that in our spiritual lives, that unless we get rest, unless we have Sabbath, we're going to do harm to our lives, our minds, our bodies, our souls? So this week, find 4 hours to delight in a Sabbath, a 4-hour Sabbath. I encourage you to consider the Sabbath as God's way of trying to give you an opportunity to find joy and delight in Him. Discovering the Sabbath is a time of delight. The psalmist writes in Psalm 30, verse 5, Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. That there is no way for me to understand that words like that had to have been written from someone who understood delighting with God in Sabbath. So, church, if we want to recover our lives, it's time that we stop feeling guilty for putting a project on hold and saying, you know what? It can wait. It's okay to take a day off from work. It's okay to take a day off and shut the cell phone off. That's a lesson that I've got to learn. It's okay to say, you know what, after 8 o'clock, the people who I need, I'm in contact, they can get a hold of, I'm cutting it off, I'm disconnecting. You know, next year, I believe it's March 3rd and 4th of 2018, there's a movement called, I think it's called National Disconnect Day, or, and it's an effort to get people to think about Sabbath, and they're calling thousands and millions of people on those that time period. I think it's sundown on the 3rd to sundown on the 4th to just shut their phones off, shut the iPads off, shut the computers off, shut the TV off, and enjoy God, enjoy each other. I'll try to bring that back up to light, because maybe that's something as a church we try to do. But we've got to find that delight in God's Sabbath so that we can recover our lives. We're going to be better for it. We're going to be better servants. We're going to be better brothers and sisters to one another. We're going to be better worshipers. We're going to be better employers and better employees. We've got to take a break. It was said that by the late 1800s, that the measure of a man's wealth was by how little he had to work. But now, in the beginning of the 21st century, the measure of a man's worth is often measured by how many hours he works, even at the expense of their family. Because you know what? People are richer, but more families are broken. People make more money, but systems and society seem to be crumbling. Why is it? I mean, it's sin. Yeah, of course it is. But also, I think it's because we're all tired. We're all worn out. So Jesus says, are you worn out? Are you tired? Are you burnt out on religion? Why don't you come away with me? I'll show you how to take a real rest. I'll show you the unforced rhythms of grace. Watch how I work and watch how I do it. Because it's light. That's the invitation. Let's pray. God, help us to stop, to pause, to take a break. Father, help us to learn to walk in rhythm with you. For in walking in rhythm with you, that is our way of our way of trying to be holy as you are holy. God, you have called us to be different. You've called us to be separate. You've called us to be special. God, I think that we're missing out on that because, God, we're just tired. We're worn out. So the words of Jesus to come away with him and to learn from him and to receive from him and to watch how he takes a rest and to watch how he walks in rhythm and the rhythms of grace. God, that is such a lovely invitation. God, we're saying yes to that right now. Right now, there's a brother in here right now that is so worn out, can't even mutter the words to say that he's just wore out. God, I'm praying that Jesus will take him by the hand and show him the unforced rhythms. There's a woman in here right now that she's at wit's end. She's got her hands in the air. She doesn't know what she's gonna do. She's digging what's being said today, but she's gonna walk out the door confused, more confused than ever. Father, I'm praying that you take her by the hand right now and show her the unforced rhythm of grace. God, there's a teenager in here right now that's worried about college plans and worried about getting a driver's license or worried about a boyfriend or a girlfriend. God, I'm praying right now you would take their hand and show them the unforced rhythm of grace. Let us come to know you face to face. Show us, lead us to delight in the Sabbath. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If the church can be in prayer for you, in communion with you, and anything that you're going through, as we stand and sing, please let us know. Let's stand. Let's sing.